Good to see each and every one that's made it out today. I take it that you probably didn't overdo it with the turkey and the dressing, so it's good to see you here. And thankful for all the blessings that God has given us and has blessed us with. You know, whenever we sang that last song, have you ever just read the words and really just thought about them? Sometimes I take songs and words of songs for granted, but then I get to looking at them and really thinking about it, and God opens my heart and opens my mind to it, what the words mean and what they're saying and what their intention is. And you know, this last song, it's, you know, what can you add into what God has done? What more can be done? What more can be added to His creation and unto His works? And to think that God loves us enough that He reaches out to us. I'm so thankful for that today. Thankful for each and every one who found it in their hearts to come this way. For visitors that are with us, we don't want you to feel like a visitor, but let everybody let them know that you're thankful for them coming and invite them to come back. If you have your Bible with you this morning, we ask that you would turn with us to the 27th Psalm, the Psalm of David. David wrote many songs about the magnificence of God, of the redemption of God, of the plan of God for mankind. And in this particular psalm, it is thought that David was in a great duress. In other words, he was having trouble on every side. Some think that he was running from Saul, so he wasn't at home. He was with 600 others, if that be the case that he was doing. 600 others that were considered outlaws and considered out of the will of the kingdom. Then there are others that think that maybe he was writing about Absalom, one of his sons, and about the rebellion that he led against David to depose David as king. And so sometimes when you know the backgrounds of some of these scriptures and some of what has been going on, you think to yourself, well, I don't really have it all that bad. At least I'm not on the run. I'm not hiding in a cave. And I know that I've talked about wanting to move into a cave. But really, it isn't that bad. Now, I know that the surroundings and culture and society, but you know, when we really think about it today, God is in control. And everything that happens, happens for a purpose, for a reason today. And so we're going to start with the first verse of the 27th chapter, or 27th Psalm, a Psalm of David. We find these words: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, and they stumble and fell, though an host should encamp me, and my heart shall not fear through war, and should rise against me, this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord at all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. Then the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have compassion upon me, and answer me. And when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast seen my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Now this will be our thought, this last verse of Scripture, in fact, these last two verses of Scripture, 13th and 14th. I had fainted, or I would have fainted. I would have perished. I would have desponded. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Correctly read the entire Psalm 1 through 14, Psalm of David. As we said before, our thought will come from the 13th verse. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David was a man that was after God's own heart, the Bible says. And I tend to believe that today. Everything that I've ever read about him, everything that I've ever looked into the Scriptures about him, the situations he got into, where that he was pulled as a shepherd boy, and he was asked to fight a giant by the name of Goliath. I think in all of it, David was a man that was after, as it says, a man after God's own heart. And when we think about what David desired of all the things that he said in this passage of Scripture that we read in your hearing, David had one thing that he believed he wanted to see always, all his days, because he said, in the land of the living, not after death, but the rest of his days until that he is taken from the earth. And he said, I had believed to see. I want to see. I want to behold the goodness of the Lord. And our theme will be based upon that. It is about thanksgiving unto God for his goodness. Thanks unto God. Gratitude unto God. For his goodness. His goodness endures forever and forever. Now, this is going to sound like another Thanksgiving sermon. And everybody has said, well, we put away the turkey. Now we're rushing about to go and prepare for Christmas. And I realize that today, but I hope that we never forget always to give gratitude unto God. Always to give thanksgiving unto Him, whether it's Thanksgiving according to the calendar or whatever that it might be. May we always, always give God thanksgiving for His goodness. The Bible says in one place, it says, canst thou by searching find out God? And that's a question that many have asked. How do we find out God? Who is God today? Even if you go to ancient Greek writers, all of them acknowledge the gods that they worship, but there was always one. There was always one that they sensed was there, that they felt was there. And we find that in the 16th and 17th chapters of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul addressed unto them about the unknown God, unknown to them. But he's known unto us today. And he has some characteristics about him today that affect us. It affects everyday life. It affects everything that we do. He is perfect in His goodness, and that's just one of His essence or one of His attributes. He is holy. There is none that can approach unto Him, lest they would be consumed. It's that way today. We don't come through a priest. We come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because that God is holy. God is set apart. He is perfect today. He does no sin. There's no sin about God today. We find that God is omniscient. That's a fancy word for knowing all things. You and I have to read things in order to understand some principle or how to put a lawnmower together or anything like that. God doesn't need instructions. God doesn't need anything like that to add unto His knowledge. He knows all things. He knew the end of time from the very beginning of time. He knew all about that. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful today. Sometimes we forget that God is all-powerful and that He's all able to do all things at the same time. Do you know today that the very molecules that make up this bench, He is now holding it together? He is, and I know that we might say today, well, that bench would just naturally be what it is, made out of, I don't know, what is it, pine, oak? I don't know. I can't tell the difference. But anyway, we might say, well, it's just standing on its own. Oh, no, it's not. It's standing there by the upward and onward Word of God. He put all things together. And you might say today, well, my uncle so-and-so made that. But God gave uncle so-and-so the knowledge and the understanding of how to put it together. We look up into the stars. They're just now discovering planets and stars and all those sorts of things that God made years ago and expands the very universe itself. And He upholds stars and keeps them in check and in line that we don't even know about. God is even looking down upon us, into whom that He has breathed the breath of life. He has made us in His image. He has made us in His likeness. Now, I don't know that we're made in the likeness, the physical likeness. I do pity the Lord today if I look like Him or He looks like me, but I want you to know far more than that. It's the fact that we have a soul. We have a spirit today that is able to respond unto God. Did you know that? Today, God made each and every individual able to respond unto the Spirit of God. And one of the attributes of God is His goodness. God is good. That sounds very, very simple, doesn't it? We know that. There's even songs about it today. God is good all the time. I kind of like to listen to that song because it just reminds me over and over and once again that God is good. God is He's beneficent. In other words, He has a desire. He does good. He does not do evil. He does not do anything that's contrary unto His character today. We also find that God is love. And now, not the type of love that is portrayed upon the screen. Not the kind of love today that we see on TV or whatever. But it's a supreme type of love. It is a love that is above all others. Do you know today that God loves you with an everlasting love? He loves you whenever that you're sorrowful. He loves you today whenever that you have problems in your life, you have strifes. God does love you. He is good today. He's good unto us because He blesses us. We're blessed this past holiday season with the fact that we were able to get together for the most part with family. We were able to sit down. We had the opportunity to gather once again, just like that song that says, we gather together to feel the Lord's blessings and His presence. We have family. We have health. Now, someone will say today, well, you don't know my medical records and so on and so forth, but God is still sustaining you. And the reason why that you have those conditions that you go to the doctor for is not of your choosing. It's because of the Adamic nature that has passed upon each and every one of us. We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. And part of it has affected our physical being. But yet God sustains us. God gives us opportunity. God has made a way. He's made opportunities for us to better our health, if you will. But God is good unto us. And He's not just good part of the time. That's another aspect of God. He's eternal. Did you know that today? He's from everlasting unto everlasting. I like to hear whenever little children say, where did God come from? Boy, that's a deep question. And there have been times whenever I've been put on the carpet to try to explain that to a little child. Can't they ask some deep questions? Where did God come from? Who made God? My friend, you just can't answer it. All you can say is He's always been. He's always been there. Even before that we were born, before that we came into this world, way back in past eternity, there was God. And there is God presently. I want you to know God also doesn't change. There's a term for that that's called He's immutable. He changes not. Do you know that if He changed, that He wouldn't be God? It wouldn't be God. But my friend, He does not change. He does not err from His being today. And one of the things that drives what He does for us is His goodness, is His love towards us. And we find today, my friend, that the most perfect goodness that God bestows upon us today is the fact of not just family and friends and having the world about us, breath, life, and abundance, but the very fact that He loved us before the fall of Adam, before the fall of mankind. He loved us enough that He had a plan of salvation by which that He would redeem whomsoever will. The Bible says in one place, God so loved the world. I know we have that as a very simple scripture. But today, my friend, how deep and how true that it is. Can you define the love of God? Can you define that He loved mankind enough that He would send the very one that was dear to Him, the very one that is in the heart of the Father, the very one that is one with the Father, one with the Holy Spirit, His Son. He sent His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't just push Him out into time. He didn't just say, son, you need to do this. I want you to know that Christ Jesus willingly accepted the responsibility of redeeming mankind. My friend, it wasn't He was forced into it. It wasn't that, my friend, that He had to do it out of duty, out of obligation. But He shares the same characteristics as His Father, in that He loves mankind. And we find today that God sent His Son into the world that and gave His Son, that whosoever believeth upon Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Romans tells us over in one place, it says that the wages of sin is death. Now, I could leave off that verse of Scripture right there, and everyone would go home and say, the world is doomed, nobody will ever be saved. Quite the contrary. The flip side of that is, the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life. Why? Because God is good, and God desires to bestow upon His creatures, to bestow upon you and I, His mercy and His grace. We find over in Colossians, and I'll probably not be able to quote it, so as we turn over there to Colossians chapter 1, and the Bible tells us, we give thanks, the 12th verse, first chapter, He says, we give thanks unto the Father, unto God the Father, in whom is goodness, who hath made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. You know, my friend, that we have been given a privilege that God would even consider to save us, that God would even consider to look down upon us today. He says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. In other words, whenever that He saves us, He takes us out of the darkness that we were surrounded with. He takes us out of the bondage of sin. He takes us off of the slave market of sin. He takes us out of the bondage, out of darkness, out of the blindness. And He sets us over into the kingdom of His dear Son whenever that He redeems us. Someone will say today, well, that sounds like a Star Trek, you know, translating from here to here. Well, for our soul, it's kind of like that. You know, we're taken and we're beamed over, if you will, into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know today, what He does altogether well. Praise His great and holy name. He, my friend, bestows goodness upon us by saving us and by putting us into His kingdom. That's a mouthful. I'm not finished yet. Who can define God today? Who can? Who can tell of all of His goodness? You know, we could name off of all of the attributes of God, and we still wouldn't have the job done. John wrote over in one place the last part of his gospel, and he said, of all the things that God did, all the things that Jesus did, if, he said, all the oceans were ink and all individuals were scribed, they could not even begin to tell of the goodness of Almighty God. It's through Him that we have redemption. Redemption is, my friend, something we should always sing about. What is redemption today? It's something good that God does for us. It's something in which that the price has been paid, but it's not imputed unto us until that we have repented and believed upon the Son of God for salvation. Then redemption is applied unto us. Then redemption is given unto us. Then redemption, my friend, is accounted unto our account. That's our righteousness today, is the fact that we have been redeemed. We find over in one place in the book of the Roman letter, it says we're justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then we go further, we find that our gratitude ought to be towards God for all of His goodness, especially through Jesus Christ our Lord. If I was given from now to past eternity, I would never be able to thank God enough for His goodness. Now we find that the Bible teaches us that God is good, but He's also just. And my friend, He will judge sin. And He will judge those that fail to make their election and calling sure with God. God has given the very best. There could never, ever be any other way for man to be saved Now, see, it's fine for us to think about, if I work it out, I'll get there somehow. But no, it's bestowed upon us by the grace and in the grace of God. Thessalonians tells us in one place, we give thanks in all circumstances for God's will. We find that the Bible also tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. The Father of lights, that where there is no variableness, where there's no shadow of turning. In other words, we are given salvation and we are given life. And we are given not only that, but the abundance of what we have. I thank God whenever I, you know, even if I have something that would look very meager, it's still by the hand of God that I have it. Even a drink of water, I'm thankful for, because it's the goodness of God that has provided that today. And so we find that at a time whenever that David was bringing in the ark into the city of Jerusalem, David said these words, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." So as we close our few remarks this morning, remember always to give thanks unto God, because that he is good. Give thanks unto God. Yes, he's omniscient, omnipresent, all of those things, holy, just, righteous, all of those things. Yes, we thank God he is those. But what motivates his love towards us is the fact that God is good. Now, God is good, not just part of the time, not just on Sunday. He doesn't look at his watch and his calendar and say, "Well, it's Sunday, I'm going to show some good to somebody." No, he's good 24/7, 365 days out of the year. May we continue, I pray that we continue to be in thanksgiving unto him. We have got another season that's coming along. Don't lose track of what we can be grateful to God for that, for the fact that his son was born into this world, that he became the lamb that was needed to redeem us from sin. Don't lose track of that with all that we'll be doing. But every decoration that you look at, every tree, whatever the case might be, just remember. Just remember, God is good, and he gave his only begotten Son.